Chapter 39. Ron got himself to school in plenty of time for his first class. If there were only 2 days left before Thanksgiving, he could at least finish up strong. He got some coffee and went into the auditorium to begin working on the 200 pages of which he'd fallen behind. Once he sat down and was doing his work, he was fine. The hard decision was getting himself to start. The auditorium was just warming up from the night, and Ron was enjoying his reading when he heard the back door open. "Do you know if there's going to be a class today?" said a tall girl with thick black hair. Ron wasn't sure that he'd recognized her. It hadn't occurred to him that there might not be a class. He turned around and looked at the time. The class was supposed to start 3 minutes ago, and they were the only two people there. "I don't know. I haven't been here in a while," she said. "Thank you," smiled, and left. Ron was out of his seat, wondering which direction she was heading in before she knew. She decided to go to the cafeteria. Her stomach could use a little breakfast once in a while. Then she'd see if any of her other classes were going to meet today. Anthony had told her not to bother coming to school this week, but she thought it was just an excuse to get her to spend the night last night. She'd accused him of it openly. He'd flowed into a rage that made all the cords of his neck stand out. He threatened to break her ass for being suspicious of everything he said. She thought that maybe he would break her ass someday. The idea was a lot cuter than the reality could ever be, and she knew it. There was the problem with Anthony, and that was why she had to expose herself to other people. Perfectly on cue with her reflections, Ron called after her and trotted up alongside. He remembered her now. "Hey, do you know if our math class is canceled too? I was just trying to figure that out. Do you want to take a walk over and see if there's anything up on the office door?" "That's a good idea." She decided that the cafeteria could wait. On his various walking loops of the college, Ron had located the offices of each of his teachers. It was an excuse to get him around the college, and was going to come in handy now. "What's your name?"
"Irma."
Ron stared at her profile. It seemed to be all chin and eyebrows, except for a ski slope that made its arc into outer space. "This chick is really lucky she has a body," Ron thought. "My name is Ron Tuck," he said. "I know who you are," she said, smiling. Ron stared at her. He couldn't believe that people kept saying that to him. He took an easy route to the math teacher's office. She felt comfortable walking beside him, and Ron decided that he would ask her out. "My boyfriend said that there wouldn't be much happening here today or tomorrow, but I thought he was just teasing." She watched the look of disappointment that crossed his face when she mentioned Anthony. So, he was interested in her. The office door was open, and there was no one inside. "We'll just have to see what happens tomorrow at class." "I'd cut it, but I've missed too many classes already," said Ron. "Do you know about the midterm?"
"When's that?"
"Next week."
"Isn't that a little early?"
"You mean late. We only have 4 weeks left."
"Holy shit," said Ron. "Are you kidding? It goes fast, didn't it?"
"That's not the word for it. Do you want to get some coffee?"
"Okay," she said.
After they settled into the cafeteria, Ron asked, "Are you really serious with your boyfriend?"
"We've been going out for 3 years, and he wants to get married when I'm finished here."
"What I mean is, do you go out with other guys?"
"I haven't, but I suppose that I could."
"Would you like to go out with me?"
"I think that would be really nice, but I don't know how we could manage it."
"You could give me your phone number and I'll keep trying until I hit on a time that's good for both of us."
"Don't you go out with anybody?"
"Nobody special," said Ron. "I like my freedom too much."
"I wish I could feel that way," said Irma.
"Freedom sort of scares me, you know."
"You just have to get used to it," said Ron.
He provided her a pen and some paper. She recorded her address and phone number. He felt like a salesman closing a deal with an interested customer. "When do you think you might be free?" he said, smiling. "Not tonight or tomorrow." "How does Wednesday look?" He was staring at the pointed tips of her bra. He watched her, seeing him stare at her chest. She moved her hands away so he could get a better view. It gave him an immediate hard-on. "It might be okay," she said. Things were at a touchy stage. He might be pushing it, or he might be making it seem real and like something she was going to want to have happen. "What would you like to do?" He hadn't expected her to really have a suggestion. They never did. But if she would agree to whatever he was going to come up with, he would have secured a beachhead. "That could be up to you. I don't get to go many places with my boyfriend, so anything you think of would be something I haven't done for a while." She had a faraway look on her face while she was talking. Really easy to talk to, you know." "I am," said Ron. He liked her better all the time. "It's just that Anthony and I are really stuck in a rut. The problem is that I think he likes it, and I'm starting to want more." "How old were you when you met him?"
16.
"Are you anything like you were at 16 now?"
"Only in some ways."
"You owe it to yourself to find out what's happening." "I've been reading some of the things that you wrote in the newspaper." Ron blushed. He put his head down and she took hold of his elbow. "I don't mean to pretend to know what's happening," he said, smiling to himself. "I've spent the last 2 years of my life in corporations and bowling alleys, so what could I possibly know? It just feels like something important is happening, and we're alive and shouldn't miss it, you know?" She squeezed his arm. Ron tightened his muscles, hoping he still had them. "You're a nice guy," said Irma. "You don't act like you're God's gift or anything."
"I can be like that," said Ron.
"Who I'm with makes a big difference in who I am."
"It shouldn't."
"I know. But some people make you feel at ease and sure of yourself. You make me feel like that."
It was the truth.
He did feel like he was talking to her more freely than anyone else he'd met here.
"Too bad about your boyfriend," he thought. "Maybe it'll clear up."
He appraised the way her thick black hair tumbled down over her shoulders like a Viking's rug. He loved her dark tinted stockings and short black skirt. Most of all, she wasn't thinking who she was either. If he hadn't ever left Newark, this was the type of girl he would have. It was almost like her presence was reconnecting him back to that part of himself. She didn't seem overly smart and was calm about it. Things were already established. He was the more aggressive, the smarter, the leader. She was kind, had a beautiful body, and could talk to him. She seemed to fit into his strengths. Ron's thoughts and feelings were running faster than he could contend with. Even his coffee was working against him this time. He lit a cigarette.
"Oh," he said.
She was grinning when she asked him what's the matter.
"I don't think I better tell you."
Her look became serious. "Don't start not talking to me already."
"It's not that I'm trying to shut you out. Believe me, it's not that. It's just that I was getting these strong impulses about the way you make me feel."
She raised her eyebrows.
"I don't mean just sexually. I feel like you could understand me and enjoy me at the same time."
"I don't even know you, Ron," she said softly.
"I know," he said, laughing. "I know.
Do you see why I didn't want to tell you?"
She gave him an uncomprehending look, and a sense of ease rapidly disappeared.
She told Ron that it would be better if they met at the college, and that he should call her on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., and she would let him know if there was anything going on.
Ron watched her
black-skirted bottom walk away with a hypnotizing wiggle. He walked to Lashley's door and found a note that canceled his class, too. On Monday afternoon, Hank got a call from his father. Everything was set, but his father thought that Hank should plan on starting the Monday after Thanksgiving. Everything is all screwed up here on account of the holiday. Hank said the next Monday would be fine. I'll give your mother some extra money for you tonight. That would be good, said Hank. Are you and Jolie going to be at the house on Thursday? There was no answer on the other end of the phone. Hank stared into the receiver as a familiar grimace spread across his face. Your mother told me to ask you. I'll let her know tomorrow, said Hank. He had no idea how he was going to explain this to Jolie. Hank went back into the kitchen and found Jolie making herself an enormous drink. She was wearing sun-yellow panties and had one of his plaid shirts tied at her waist so that her tips kept popping out. My father, said Hank, looking down at the table. Are we going to have drinks? You're going to have a drink with me, she said in her kitten voice. Hank chortled. Sure. I'm going to start work next Monday because of the holiday. What are you going to be doing? Hank looked at his drink. He didn't know. He hadn't cared enough to ask. He still had no idea of how much he would be making. He'd sit in the washroom and clean out bowls if it would let him keep Jolie acting this way with him. There are a couple things they still have to be decided upon. All the jobs down at that place are pretty much the same anyway. Jolie didn't understand how that could be, but let it pass. My father wants to know if I'm coming to their house on Thursday for dinner. I suppose we should, she said easily. She wondered briefly what Myrtle would be doing, but figured whatever it was included Ernie, and that meant they wouldn't be going anywhere. Ernie had a lot of trouble sitting in cars. Myrtle had told her last week that it wouldn't be long before he had to go to the hospital. Myrtle's voice had gotten strange. When I look at him when he's naked, it's hard, at first, to remember that it's a person. She didn't want to see Ernie and Myrtle. Maybe we should have Ron and one of his little friends come up at night, she said. The club's going to be closed. The commuter room was empty and didn't seem like it had been involved in much traffic that day. Ron went through the material from the news services. There was a striking similarity to what he'd read in other releases. Ron guessed it was because there wasn't a whole lot of variety when it came to dealing with war. Lorraine walked in and Ron said hello to her without remembering that she'd stood him up. He was reading an article about how some Vietnamese families were using downed aircraft for homes. The wrecked planes were sometimes fired upon because of the human activity. When they exploded, entire families went up with them sometimes. I'm sorry about Saturday, said Lorraine. What was Saturday? Oh, yeah. Where were you? I guess that I just didn't think it was a good idea for us to get involved in that way. Ron looked at her, not really giving a fuck about what she thought of him. Why not? Usually I wouldn't tell somebody this, but I think we would kill each other. We're the same. I can see it in you. Ron concluded that he didn't really care what she was talking about. He felt pretty lucky that she hadn't wasted his day. It's really a drag to get stood up. I never did it before to anybody in my life. That doesn't make me feel any better. I just wanted to tell you that it's not because I don't like you or anything. The truth is that I have a boyfriend that I love. It's good that you didn't go out with me then. Lorraine felt like laughing when Chris walked into the room.
It seemed to her that every time she stopped to talk to anyone, he showed up. Chris was giddy. "Good afternoon," he said, giggling. "What's happening?" said Ron. "Snow is due at any moment." Ron walked over to the window and looked out. "I don't think it's cold enough yet, man." Chris and Lorene laughed. "Not that kind," said Chris. "The kind that goes up your nose." "I like some of that," said Lorene. Chris snapped his fingers. "All right, that's entirely possible. Although, I don't think this is the most judicious place to do it." "That's certainly true." Ron still had no idea what drug they were talking about, but at least he'd figured out that they were talking about a drug. "Let's go back to my house in a few minutes," said Chris. "I'd like that, but I don't think I can," said Lorene. "My brother is coming home tonight, and I've got to be there for the dinner." "Where's he been?" Her face tightened, and she spit out the answer. "Away. Overbrook. He flipped out. He's a junkie." Lorene looked at the bewildered expression on Ron's face and was glad she'd stood him up. He looked like a bit of a monkey. Julian had it right. She looked at Chris. "If I came over for a while, could you give me a ride home?" "You don't have a car," said Chris. "Oh, I have a car. It's just that I've got to bring it home so my mother can do some shopping." "So," said Chris, "first you want me to follow you back to your house to get rid of your car, and after that, we're going to go to my house, and then you want me to drive you back home?" "Somewhere before 6 o'clock, if it's not too much trouble," she said easily. Chris laughed some more. "I suppose I could do that. Let me call my mother first and make sure I've got everything straight." She fished a dime out of her purse and went to make a call. "How are you doing?" said Chris to Ron. Ron replied, "I've been here all day waiting for something to happen, but I met a good-looking girl this morning." "Who is she?" "Her name's Irma." "Far out," said Chris. Lorene looked sickly when she returned. "Damn," she said. Chris asked her what was wrong. "My sister found some of my brother's old stash and brought it into class, analyzed it in chemistry." Ron and Chris laughed. Lorene looked like she was going to vomit. "I've got to go," she said.